For November the 19th, 2021, we talk about Mirror Layers, League of Legends Wild Rift, and Gaia Project. Welcome to Level 394. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Mysmith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Happy belated birthday, Ben.
Thanks. Yeah, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know if I'm stepping on toes.
No, good.
Yeah, I had my birthday over the weekend. It was good. I had my dad come in town and visit, and so that was nice. One of my favorite bars in Seattle is reopening since the pandemic. So that was like my birthday present over the weekend.
Nice.
It was a good time.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is it about this bar that you enjoy?
It's Belgian bar. So it's like only Belgian beers. It's very like hole in the wally. Mm-hmm. And they have like chess sets and backgammon sets there that you can just pull out and play on the go. So it's like, it's just like a nice, like friendly, like cozy type place. The bathroom is not the best. It is not female friendly, but outside of that, that's like the only negative. Everything else is like really cool.
Gotcha.
And it's like owned by like one dude, and there's only like maybe two or three servers there. Mm-hmm. So like, give you an example, there was one time where he had this like Belgian beer keg in the basement, and like part of it had like sprung a leak.
Oh no.
And so what he did is he was just filling up pitchers of it and walking around and giving people free beer and just like, I don't want this to get a waste, so here's some beer.
That's
the kind of atmosphere it is. So
yeah, better that it ends up in people than down a drain. Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, David.
Hey, thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah. What you been up to? You don't do anything cool recently?
Not anything too particularly crazy. Went to a concert last weekend, a band called Cybertronic Spree.
Okay.
Ooh. So their whole thing is the entire band is dressed up in elaborate Transformers costumes.
Okay.
And then almost all their music is like video game soundtracks and Saturday morning cartoon theme songs and like all of the 80s music you would expect. They've also this time they added a couple of others that kind of in that feel. So for example, they added the theme song to One Punch Man, not the 80s, but very much within that kind of
it is anime and therefore in the wheelhouse. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. Their entire thing being in character, I guess, kind of. So. Yeah, it's really fun.
So they're not doing Polyphonic Spree covers. They're like the Polyphonic Spree in that there are many, many of them on the stage.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Do the Transformers at any point either transform or battle?
No, unfortunately, neither of those.
Damn. No, that's it.
Which is ironic, but
maybe in some of their videos, I'm seeing animated versions of these characters. Well, was it a good time?
Oh yeah, it was a really good time. Fairly tiny bar up in Nashville. Say like 30 or so people there.
Nice.
But yeah, really good time.
Not bad. How about you, Dennis?
I'm doing good. We just started the construction for having our basement finished. And so this is probably the biggest project we've done since we remodeled our kitchen 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we are under construction once again. So it's not the funnest thing to have the electricity or the water randomly shut off at different times in your house. But hopefully the result will be fun.
Yeah. And you were saying that like once they get their stuff in, it's not like they're going in and out of areas where people are trying to live, like they work in the basement, and it's like
that's the major difference between the kitchen and the basement is like what they can work and not have us underfoot, and we can like be around and do our thing and not be under their feet. So.
I get so self-conscious whenever I have any contractors work over that I'm just in their way. Like even if I'm at the other side of the house, it's like, is there anything that am I slowing you down at all?
am I being annoying? I feel like I'm being annoying by existing here.
I'm annoying you by asking this question. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. I almost got myself stuck in a loop where they were bringing timbers in from the garage, and I was just in the area, so I kind of opened up the door for one of them to help them get through, and I caught myself almost like going out to get timbers myself.
like, no, you're paying them to do that. Yeah,
the heart is right, but the fastest way to guarantee that they hate me is to like accidentally drop some timbers down the stairs or what have you. So.
If repo men came, you know, just to some horrible financial tragedy beset me, I would be like still just as they're taking my stuff away, like just like asking, do you guys want some Diet Coke? Do you want some bottled water? I can brew some coffee if you want it.
I think that's my game plan, is I just offer refreshments and then try and leave them alone.
I did hear a cool story. This is from a friend who had a house built. So this was an entire house, not just a basement. And obviously there's a ton of contractors involved in that. And it was a year-long process. And at the end of it, they threw like a giant catered party for every contractor that was involved. So like if you worked on the house, you had an open invite and they told everyone about it. And apparently it was like this amazing time and everyone was like walking around telling stories about getting the house built and just was a really cool experience. They said one person even drove from 3 hours away because they were so excited to kind of, they had worked on it early and then gone to a different project late in the game. And so they were so excited to like come back and see what was going on. So
yeah.
I was like, that's a really cool idea. I don't know if just a basement is appropriate for that, but some token of gratitude of like, you guys are doing things that are going to impact me literally every day for the rest of my time living here. Like that's worth a big appreciation. Just as long as you don't do it getting under their feet, right?
Yes. Yeah. I would want to get them nice and liquored up and see if I could get them to start telling stories about corners they cut. It's like, oh, yes. funny story about that outlet you're standing right by.
Yeah.
No ground.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's cool. I wish you luck, and I hope that this the time with contractors in your house is brief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely before I'm gonna say this, and it will make it certain that it goes longer. But definitely before Christmas.
Yeah, we'll be
done.
Knocking on bamboo here.
Yes.
So I don't know if that counts as wood. I need to be honest with you. It might be worse.
A reed, right?
I think it's grass. I don't know. I don't have much going on. My birthday is this weekend, and my gift to myself, the Criterion Collection like 4K Ultra HD version of Mulholland Drive just came out today. So that arrived. So I've got that. I also got myself a Dremel scrubbing thing. It's like a little rotary thing that you hold that you can put scrub pads on. For cleaning stuff around the house, but also I've got some old tools that I'm trying to restore for my grandpa's, so that'll be fun. And also my house drain is stopped up again, so I need to spend money to get Mr. Rooter out here to blow open my house drains again, which is just something that's going to happen every 2 years now.
Ugh.
Ugh. Oh, yes, man.
You know you're an adult when that counts as a present.
Yeah. having it so when you flush your toilet, it goes away as opposed to just kind of dribbling out around the base of the toilet. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, man. So I mentioned that they turn the water off for a period of time. And I don't know about you, but nothing makes you have to take a shit worse than knowing that your toilet is out of commission.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No. It's kind of like your crotch never itches. With such a fiery passion until you're standing in front of a bunch of people, you know?
Yes.
I was interested to see where you were going with that.
Yeah. It's when you can't that you really gotta, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So do I knock on a neighbor's door or?
I'm lucky. I've got family who lives pretty close. I can just go 5 minutes down the road. Nice. If I gotta, but you know. Hopefully that will be resolved and it won't be a whole lot, but I will have contractors over to get that resolved because we're adults and that's boring.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hello, fellow adults.
But before that, and while the shitter is broken, we've got the usual kind of show to do, but with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. David, you've been away the longest, so I will go to you first.
Yeah, I don't have a whole hell of a lot, honestly.
That's fine.
You know, been kind of busy. I've been continuing to grind through Warframe. Okay. I unlocked my Necromech, which is, to review, is the mech warrior that your other mech warrior goes inside.
It's the big mech that your little mech rides.
Yeah, it technically doesn't do that. Your character rides it while your mech just like stands there awkwardly wherever you left it.
But okay.
It is very much the mech suit that you unlock in a game that is entirely about wearing mech suits.
Yeah, it sounds like their way to turn this a little bit into Titanfall to a degree.
Would you describe it as a mech Troishka doll?
Yes. Yes, I would.
I
know the rest, everyone else in the world will judge you, but I support that. it's much more, clunky than, your normal meching is, you're a super fast, agile, space ninja.
That's like power armor that you're in.
Right, exactly. Whereas this is much more the kind of clanky mech, your melee attack is just you like punching things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got heavy weapons, all that sort of thing. So that's a lot of fun. It also looks very cool. It basically looks like, what are those? Are they canopic jars? The Egyptian kind of burial jars that have like a face paint on them, that sort of thing.
I don't know about the where they put the organs. Are you talking about like the Phoenician jars where it was like black figures drawn on the side of the orange ceramics?
Look up canopic jars. Okay. Like the Wikipedia thing.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. So it's got like the heads of the gods on it, kind of.
Right, exactly. And so basically, that's kind of what your Necromech looks like.
Okay.
Except that with actual skulls.
Okay.
So sorry, one sec. I'm gonna drop a picture into chat because that that is clearly what you do in an
auditory medium. Yeah,
right, exactly. But I say this just to emphasize the degree to which they continue their support for just being as weird as hell.
Yeah. No, I can see where you're getting that comparison. It looks a little bit like MODOK almost.
It's yeah. like Doom mixed with a Fabergé egg.
Yeah,
exactly. So exactly. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, which sounds. I mean, that could be a description of Warframe's aesthetic in general, based on what I have seen. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they're all about it's like I said, the thing that I hope Warframe eventually leans into is it is very questionable whether you guys are the good guys.
Right.
I mean, when you have not one, but I think we're up to at least 3 frames now that specialize in biological warfare. like, at some point, you've really got to start asking yourself some questions.
Not necessarily a thing that people who are in the right resort to. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So that's been fun on the one hand. On the other hand, I've been really getting into the kind of FTL mode, the
oh yeah, where you're crewing a ship in the middle of like missions and stuff, doing like boarding and keeping systems up.
Similar to the Necromex, this is the game where you have a ship in the game that's all about being in space,
right?
But yeah, you know, it's like I said last time, it's a really fun mix of, you know, this sort of FTL crewing the ship thing, but then, you know, halfway through the mission, you have to jump out and, you know, fight things on foot.
Yeah.
I think what's becoming one of my favorite parts of that is within the lore of the game, you have these things called Cephalons, which are basically like self-aware AI.
Mm-hmm.
That are all left over from kind of the before time. So, you know, no one knows quite how they work or how they're made. And so you have a basically like a tactical Cephalon that you dug out of some old warship and is now, you know, in charge of your ship. And he serves kind of as your handler during these missions.
Okay.
And I really love his writing because it's, at least to me, the perfect balance between being the super serious, I'm a logical AI and, you know, I'm a military AI, so I'm all about the mission, mm-hmm. and just being very silly.
Okay.
Just you getting in missions and him telling, telling you, you know, you need to blow up some ship for the safety of the, you know, for the good of public safety. And then him just emphasizing several times, but totally do this for public safety. That's why we're doing this.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be really awesome, but public safety.
Right. Got to have plausible deniability.
Right, exactly. You know, similarly, one of the things you have to do is kind of venture into what are called void storms, which are kind of these interdimensional, you know, rift storms.
Okay.
And, you know, as you go through the mission, the longer you take, the more violent this gets, and it starts dealing damage to your ship, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he tells you, you know, void storm has reached category 5. 5 is the worst, by the way.
Yeah, when I think of this game, I don't think of it having a sense of humor. So that's neat to hear.
Yeah, you know, it definitely has its moments, especially with the Cephalons. There's a lot of, you know, everything, almost everything in this game is, I guess, technically you could argue post-apocalyptic.
Right.
So there's a lot of you dealing with things that were, you know, super science or, you know, super intelligent, you know, that sort of thing, you know, several hundred years ago that haven't been repaired since.
Okay.
Just, yeah, dealing with, you know, all of the idiosyncrasies that have developed. So
yeah.
Other than that, the big thing, they actually just released one of their new content patches today. It's mainly just a new way to unlock the endgame tier loot.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically, periodically introduce what are called like prime versions of the various weapons and frames, which are basically within the lore of the game, the like old war tech versions of these weapons. And the thing is, whenever they introduce new ones, the old set, it can no longer be, no longer drops. And so, but then, like, they also then periodically cycle through. So basically, at all times, there's, like, one or two new things and one or two old things. But the problem is, as they've been doing this for several years, it's gotten to the point where, a given, prime warframe might only circle around, I don't know, maybe once a year or once every 2 years, something like that. So they're now releasing a thing where basically for 2 weeks, they're going to kind of fast cycle through all of the old warframes. Mm-hmm. And allow you to unlock them.
Okay.
So, it's still more grinding, but, it's nice that they're kind of putting in ways for you to be able to get these things.
Yeah, and just to reduce a little bit of the scarcity.
Yep.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's really, really all I have. I downloaded the... multiplayer for the new Halo. I think it's what? Halo Infinite?
Mm-hmm. Halo, we have all your money.
Yeah, I think this is one where you like go to a city in the clouds and fight racists, right?
Maybe that would be weird if they just reskinned BioShock Infinite and expected us not to notice. Yeah.
But yes, downloaded but not played yet.
Oh.
So that's the perfect segue. I have played it ever so slightly.
Oh, you have played nice. You have played Halo Infinite.
I have.
Cool.
Now, I went to know. I was very excited when I saw this come. It was released early. I hadn't been following it a ton, but playing Splitgate kind of wet my whistle for this kind of arena shooter, and I know Halo is kind of the pinnacle of those. And so I rejoiced. I went and checked it out on Steam and then immediately saw that whereas I have a Ryzen 3 and a GTX 950, it requires a Ryzen 5 and a GTX 1080. I got edged out. So I downloaded it anyway. And I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to try. I booted it up. It took a very long time to load, but it did run for me, which is cool.
Nice.
The problem is that it ran at about 15 frames a second.
Ooh, oh, so did that put you at some kind of disadvantage?
No, totally not. That doesn't have any impact on play. So I was able to play and kind of follow what was going on, but obviously it was just kind of a step behind the entire time. One thing that did not help matters that I think is kind of just in the base game and not related to my computer's performance is the way it signals hits on a target. The game is overall great. It's Halo. Halo plays really well. However, it is almost like impossible to tell when you are actually landing hits versus not.
Okay.
Like there's no feeling of impact. There's no sound cue that I could tell. And so I'd be unloading a clip into someone. And Halo is a game with a pretty high time to kill, right?
Yeah.
Where you have to unload a clip or two into someone before they go down. And so I would unload and be like, I have no idea if any of that actually hit just because, well, one, because I'm at 15 frames a second, but then two, because there's no feedback telling me whether or not I'm hitting. You know, I'd see their shields break eventually, you know, halfway through, but just the game needs to really dial up the impact of bullets hitting. And that's probably spoken on my part, coming from playing a lot more Apex Legends, which I can talk more about in a second. But I mean, like that game, you get a big audio cue.
That's been the case for Halo for a very long time. I mean, we went back on WoF and we did Halo ODST, and that was one of our big complaints, was that, you know, you empty clips into folks, and unless you see a shield break, there's really no indication that like you are doing the right thing.
Yeah, so a missed opportunity there. And unless I figure out some way to go below the lowest graphical settings, I don't know how much more time I'll put into it, but
yeah.
I guess on that front, then it is the Halo, you know, in every sense.
Yeah.
I've read about the Battle Pass being pretty stingy and people complaining about that, but I have no point of reference. I didn't play long enough to really unlock anything meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, cool that it was released as a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea when the actual game comes out. I know I think that I thought it was already out, but I realized I wasn't actually seeing people talk about it. I was seeing people talk about Forza Horizon 5, and and for some reason I thought, well, one Xbox game is just like every other Xbox game, so Halo's got to be out already, right?
Yeah, Master Chief is basically the human equivalent of a Ferrari.
He's like a car. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like those are not similar games. I'm just throwing it out there.
I know. I mean, I didn't say it was a smart thing for me to think.
Yeah. Clearly, you have not followed how much the Forza series has expanded its horizons.
I mean, yeah. Apparently, Forza Horizon 5 fucking owns, if people that I trust are to be believed enough to make me actually kind of curious about it. That's a bummer that your system was not up to it, let's say.
Yeah, it instilled in me the craving to start upgrading again. But I can resist that as long as there's Splitgate out there to play, which is essentially Halo with portals.
Yeah. No, it's tough. You got to update everything at once, or, you know, otherwise it's like, to get the new card, I need to get a new motherboard, and the new motherboard will require a new processor. And if I'm getting a new processor, I might as well get new RAM, because maybe, you know, there'll be a new DDR that I can get. Yeah.
it's an infinite loop.
Yes. Yeah. So it's about like the upgrading piecemeal, I think, is just not a thing that you can do, I guess, unless you're upgrading to like an SSD from a hard drive or something.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of a new DDR, have you guys ever done DDR for like Watch Out for Fireballs or anything like that?
No. Closest we've done is Rock Band. In terms of like rhythm,
I feel like
rhythm,
this should be a thing.
Rhythm game.
Happen, I will send you the mats.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I don't have any affection for DDR or like the music that is on DDR. So I like rhythm games an awful lot. You guys know that, but mm-hmm. Yeah. What else have you played besides the Halo Infinite demo?
Yeah, I excuse me. It is not a demo. It is.
I can't think of what else to call it.
Yeah, it's effectively a demo and a stress test all in one.
Yeah.
So I mentioned Apex Legends. I've continued playing that. It is a really good feeling to learn a map. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned last week about how, you know, I kind of rejoined at the point that a new map released. So it was on the same footing with everyone kind of being lost or, you know, not having my bearings. And it just feels good, no matter the game, no matter the genre, to master a space, to begin to recognize landmarks and kind of get your bearings in that way. So it's been fun from that angle alone, in addition to kind of also re-getting my bearings in terms of mechanics and feeling like I'm it's all coming back. So had a lot of success playing the game. I think the upgrade to PC versus controller factored into that.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thought on it for this week is just learning the space and kind of developing your favorite areas to drop and knowing the routes and all that. And it's a big enough map that I'm still discovering new areas, but I still mm-hmm. I have enough of a knowledge of the general layout to have that be exciting rather than disorienting.
Right. Do you get the sense that like you are keeping pace with everybody else who is learning the map as it goes? Like my constant fear in that situation would be that my knowledge would be quickly outpaced or outstripped by people who put in more time or, you know, add more, sure. Just be add more anything into it.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about a battle royale game is you do have the rings kind of forcing you to go to an area. Right. So at no point is someone able to tell you, like, no, you're not supposed to go that way because there is a concrete, like, you are supposed to be here or you're not.
Yeah.
That guides you. But yeah, I've felt like I've kept up just fine.
That's good.
And that's been fun. Yeah. The big new game that I've played, though, is actually a mobile game.
Okay. Mm.
And you guys, I swear, I did not mean to fall headfirst into Riot World, but you guys are going to see it's happening. I downloaded Wild Rift on my phone, and this is a League of Legends game that is League of Legends, but kind of refactored for mobile.
Okay.
And it is really, really good. Like, I'm joining on a new account, or, you know, everyone starts at square one. So your progress, if you've played League of Legends, does not carry over. So same account, but like coming in as a level one newbie to this game, even though it's very similar to League of Legends.
Right.
And I think just that reset has been so helpful in me feeling like I know what I'm doing, getting my bearings. The tutorials for the game are extensive and really, really good.
Huh.
So, you know, MOBAs are infamously obtuse and just have a lot of different characters and a lot going on and lots of different objectives, and it's super easy to feel lost.
Yeah.
But Wild Rift does a really good job kind of holding your hand and gradually ramping up into more and more complicated tutorials as you kind of get the flow for the game. So, at least from what I remember going to League of Legends and what I remember or what I've seen from reading about the games, is that Wild Rift kind of nails that and does a much better job of that. Whereas in the main League of Legends, you're left to kind of figure it out for yourself.
Right.
Huh. Yeah.
So is it a simplified version for mobile, or are they doing their best to bring over all of the complexity of play?
It is faithful and simplified at the same time. And I know that's a complete non-answer. So let me elaborate and see if you guys can decide for me how faithful versus simplified it is. There are definitely concessions in terms of games being shorter and upgrade trees and to a certain extent abilities being simplified.
Okay.
You still have abilities that are skill shots that you have to aim, and you push the button for the ability and then kind of rotate your thumb around the button to aim like you would a thumbstick on a controller. But attacking is kind of automatic by default. Which is not the case in the game, in the PC game.
Yeah.
Where in the PC game, you always have to click on what you want to attack. In this game, you just hit the attack button, and it will pick the most important target close to you. So it will either pick the the lowest health enemy champion if you're near, player enemies. It will pick a minion if you're near minions, or it will pick the kind of objective if you're close to an objective. And it's really good generally about kind of anticipating what you would want to be attacking in a given situation. And even the aimed abilities, if you just tap the button, it will fire it automatically at whatever that kind of auto attack target would be.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed any like misfires or attacking a target that you didn't want to attack?
No, actually, I can't. There's no like one time that I can point to where I was like, oh, I really needed to be attacking the player and it attacked the turret instead. Or I need to, you know, I really need to attack one player and attack the other.
Yeah.
That also factors into the way they do the tutorial. So you can also manually select a target by pressing the auto attack button and then kind of moving your thumb to whatever you want to be attacking. It's more intuitive than I made that just sound, but that option is there. And the tutorial system ramps you up into, once you've kind of mastered that, so auto attack, aimed attack, then it adds portrait attack, where if you're near an enemy player, their portrait will be kind of on the outer ring of buttons for your right thumb. And if things are crazy and you want to make sure you're attacking the right person, you just tap their face instead of tapping anywhere else on the
screen. Like healing or buffing in an MMO.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that works really well. I don't know enough about all of the items and upgrade trees in the main League of Legends to say how simplified that is, but it feels simpler. You get your ultimate ability at level 5 instead of level 6. But the characters that I've played that I was familiar with from the main game are still very true to their kind of skills and abilities in the main game.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the one negative thing I mentioned that you come in as a level 1 player, you also come in without any cosmetics or things you've unlocked from the main game.
Okay.
And that seems like a big miss to me, that the games are so close and share so much DNA, and I could see one cross-pollinating the other, but none of your progress continues from one to the other.
Right.
And that feels weird. I wonder if it's just because it's relatively new and they'll open that up slowly or what.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the only bad thing I have to say about it. Like, everything else has been well executed. I'm really impressed. Like, this feels on the level of Genshin Impact in terms of like a really complicated, rich mobile game that you would expect to only be available on heavier hitting machines.
Huh.
They've done a great job with it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have very limited experience with League of Legends. This makes sense to me, though, especially from like a longevity of like game or product life. Like, yeah, bringing something out that will run on more people's machines with kind of a more, let's say, bringing in just like with a little bit more of like a gentle or like intentionally designed on ramp. Like to get people in when your game is like famously really hard to approach, just kind of seems good for like for them from a health of the company kind of vibe.
Yeah, the phrase that comes to mind is it's streamlined, not simplified.
Yeah.
So do you get called a noob and accused of being a feeder?
That's the best part. I almost forgot. No one could really chat on mobile.
Yeah.
Oh.
Beautiful. So the ping system is actually really intuitive. So that I guess those are some of the other big differences that I should call out if anyone's familiar and curious. So one is the enemy base just has the main base. In the normal game, there's two extra or three extra turrets I think you've got to get through.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it's two. So that's different. The map is simplified a bit. The camera is always locked to your main character. And you can manually swipe around the screen to move the camera,
mm-hmm.
but it is kind of locked on your main character by default. And when I did my brief dip back into the main game a couple weeks ago, that was the most disorienting thing, is just losing track of where I was on the screen. So this goes a long way to fix that.
Yeah.
And then the ping system, you have buttons for like attack, caution, and on my way. And if you press that, it immediately pops up the minimap larger so that you can then just swipe over and release on wherever on the minimap you want to ping, which is an even better system for it than I experienced in the main game. Now someone's going to sit there and be like, no, you could totally, you know, ping the minimap in the main game. Even as I'm saying, I'm thinking like maybe that was the case, mm-hmm. but it works for being on a, you know, tiny screen.
Yeah.
You're able to be ridiculously precise with what information you're conveying to your companions or your allies, I guess.
Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, League of Legends Wild Rift. It's been a fun little dip. It's not quite, you know, the games are 20 minutes instead of 40, but 20 minutes is still like a sit down and pay attention thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the kind of game that you can, you know, swipe away from if someone calls you or what have you. So
no, it's still a commitment.
Exactly. It's still a commitment, but it is lessened to the extent that I can lie in bed and play League of Legends and feel good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the 45 minutes that it was before. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which probably reduces the amount of toxicity too, just because, you know, a botched game is less of a chunk of your life that you're handing over to getting dunked on.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That makes a ton of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I just
there is a chat, but like it's so cumbersome to get to.
Oh yeah,
probably by design that that no one uses it.
No, we had that news story where just like get rid of all chat.
Yes,
it makes perfect sense. Nobody will miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Things have been really multiplayer heavy this week. Every single game we've talked about so far has been multiplayer.
It's in the air.
Yeah.
Winter's coming. We're all mad about it. We want to beat up on someone.
I suppose.
That seems legit.
Ben, how about you? What have you been playing?
I'll keep the train going. I've just been playing games that I've talked about before. So I've been playing Storybook Brawl and Gloomhaven. So Storybook Brawl, still like, you know, a nightly sort of game that you can play for like 30 minutes to an hour, that sort of thing. I'm still like chilling around the... 3,500 like rank. So it's between like the top two rankings, the top rankings at 4K. And so it's like around like 5K ranked, I guess. So your score is like 34, but your rank's 5,000, something like that. Mm-hmm. They've made some updates, I think like a week ago. And I think I mentioned that I knew that they were there. I've kind of played a little bit more with them. Not a whole bunch of the meta has changed. They've basically like nerfed a few of the heroes. I think I might have mentioned that.
Anybody that you play regularly?
Yeah, so that's like one of the things that's a little bit... I mean, you can't get mad at a game that's free. But like you choose what characters you want to unlock. And like you invest like whatever economy that you have in that. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of a bummer if you unlock a character, then they become nerfed. And then it's I don't really want to pick that one anymore. So like, it would be nice if there were a way to like undo unlocking a character or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, if they're not useful to you anymore for the way that you play.
Yeah. And they added a new character, which was interesting, which is when you get to level 6, you basically kill all your characters and just get random level 6 characters.
Okay.
But I haven't been able to play that one yet. It's just never been an option yet. So yeah, but I've been like pretty happy with that. I played one game. I don't know if I mentioned this or not. You can do like local multiplayer, or like you can. The way it works is like you pick an ID, and then it'll start a lobby, and then anyone can join with that ID. And so sometimes streamers will do like local lobbies with like their viewers and stuff like that. So I've joined that a few times, and I've been able to like hold my own and like finish in the top half. So I felt good about that. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. That game's still like fun to play for a little bit and drop in and drop out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I really have to say about that, I guess. Gloomhaven is still cool. I have a Monday night group that is playing that consistently. I think Dennis's comment about it is ringing true. The group of people that I have where we're trying to be evil. A lot of times we kind of hit a wall, and it's... a lot of times you just get punished for it, and you can't really, it's hard to force like a negative reputation run. So I'm kind of running into that a little bit, but the characters are still cool. It's still fun to play with people. The group that I do with Monday night, I'm playing as like the brute, which as he sounds, he just runs in and hits things. But we have a good combo with one person's playing as Tinker, and they're using the healing abilities really heavily. So I can run in, suck up a bunch of damage, and then they'll like keep me afloat turn to turn.
Oh, nice.
So I hadn't really seen that before. It's nice to be able to like work together between characters. Usually it's kind of like, up until this point, it's usually been like three people kind of all playing their own game, but together. So that's kind of interesting. But I'm still on the three characters that I had last week. Like, I haven't been able to get any of them to retire. And so I'm blocked on the one that's nearest to retirement. I'm blocked because one of the levels will crash with a bug, unfortunately. And then I can play a previous level that I've beaten before to unlock it this time. But I have not been able to beat it. And I tried to beat it like 2 or 3 times, a level I've already beaten before. And it's like a protect somebody, like, what's it called? Like convoy mission or whatever, you know, and they've died every time. So that's been frustrating. And it's like people spawn at where you start. And so they'll, the first time I beat it without any issues, but like this time, like people will catch up to the person I'm trying to protect and they'll kill them like on the backside. So it's kind of annoying, but anyway, yeah, but both those games are still pretty fun. I kind of think that I'll probably keep playing them for the next foreseeable future. Yeah, and then, you know, like Back 4 Blood, Phasmophobia, if I can get groups together for them or play them, that's like something. And then Rocket League as well. So
Does Gloomhaven have a single player?
You can play it single player, and you control, but you need at least two characters.
Okay.
So you can just control both characters together.
Gotcha.
And if you were to do that, say perhaps you were thinking about getting the game, it's, you probably want like one tank and one like spell, like shoot things from afar person.
Yeah, that makes sense. That'd be kind of like if I was rolling a Divinity Original Sin game.
Yeah, and it's completely serviceable as that as well, because one of the campaigns I have is like a solo campaign. Yeah, that's the one that I was describing. And so it's nice to be able to have that too. So it's like if you know, only if not everybody's around, like if one person's out or something, you can just fall back to that one.
Yeah. So, yeah. If you still have a craving to play it.
Yeah. I think I'll mention one other thing, since I was able to do it this week. I played a game of Gaia Project, which is like my favorite board game ever. I got to play as a new race. The race is called the Ball Tax.
Okay.
Careful on the spelling when you're Googling them. But there's it's like B-A-L and then T-A-C-K-S.
Okay.
But it's a race that I never really understood, so I wanted to try them out to see if I could like figure them out. But the concept is like they don't have any like movement or any range in building a new settlement. This will be a very insular description because I'm not because it requires knowledge of Gaia Project.
Can you describe this game?
Shit. All right. So Gaia Project, you're building like structures, building houses and building cities. Every time you build a building, it'll unlock income. You play for six rounds. The income you get used to build more buildings, essentially, and then there's a lot more to it besides that. The thing with the game is it takes like an hour and a half to explain the rules, but it's not a complicated game. It's just there's a lot of small, simple pieces to it, and so you just have to describe them all, and then you. But then once you've like played it once or twice, it's not hard to like figure it out or keep going. And part of the reason that why I think it's really good is to do any like given action you might want to. There's probably like at least two or three ways that you could go about doing it. And so there's like so many options. And so that's why it's like really interesting is you're always like thinking about with optimal choices. There's like three or four or five different economies that you have in the game. So some of them are like flexible and can change into one another. So you have to kind of think about that accounting as well. Maybe that doesn't sound fun to people, but I enjoy it immensely. Anyway, there's different races that have different abilities. And so that's part of what happens is you'll describe those races to people when they haven't played the game before. And like some of them, you're just like, I have no idea why this race exists or whatever. I don't know how this works or anything. And so one of them was like, they have no move, but there's one specific resource called QIC that you can spend to temporarily increase your movement for a turn. And you can, if you advance on a certain tech, you can get three of them as an income per turn. So I thought that was like a useless ability or whatever, but it found out that if you have a three income of that per turn, which you can get early on, then you can do a lot of like crazy stuff and like unlocking technologies and stuff. I didn't get an amazing score with them, but it was cool to like play a new race that I hadn't played before and kind of figure out a strategy that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry for a very insulated description and conversation. That's just something I'm excited about. That's one of my favorite board games. So,
heard any of my descriptions, Warframe?
is this the physical board game version of it, or the game adaptation of it?
It is the physical board game of
it. Okay, gotcha.
It's a sequel, quote unquote, to Terra Mystica, which is a board game that came out in 2013. I think this one came out in like 2017 or 2018. And they basically just improved upon a few of the mechanics and gave it a different theme.
But gotcha.
So it's like a slightly better version of that game, which was my favorite game before this one. So
nice.
Yeah.
Not bad. Cool. I don't have any questions on top of that. And mm-hmm. I will continue the multiplayer thing in spirit anyway, by saying that I, over this past weekend streamed, about 4 hours of Ben, the game that you brought to the brief last time, Mirror Layers.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. So for a refresher, Mirror Layers is go ahead.
I think someone else brought that maybe.
Yeah, oh, that was me.
That was you. Sorry, Dennis. Okay. One of you brought it. I'm going to try and explain this while Dottie is gnawing on my hand. So for a reminder, and for David's sake, Mirror Layers is a first-person horror game. Kind of looks and plays a little bit like a PT. A person who is in an apartment. There is no way out of the apartment. When you get an invitation to come to the apartment and play a game, once you enter the apartment, the elevator no longer goes back to the first floor. And when you try and walk up or down the stairs, you just loop back around and you are always on floor 12.
Huh.
Yeah. So you are here until you have seen everything the apartment wants you to see. And part of that, this is a gigantic apartment. It's basically a whole house and there are all kinds of rooms and stuff. And there's not a whole lot of incident, until you unlock a curtain that, is drawn over a mirror, which will take you to like a Silent Hill style dark version of your apartment, where occasionally there are monsters who will, kind of chase after you, but you are going in between the two different versions of the world, trying to solve puzzles that kind of surround the previous inhabitants of this apartment and the horrible things that they did here. And kind of the gimmick of this, like the sale is, while you are not playing this game, like with other people who are running around in the world with you, there is a computer in the world, where you can sign on. And there is, in addition to a like Hypnospace Outlaw style, you know, group of websites where you're looking for clues and stuff, there is a, an in-game social network that other players post to. The idea being that this, social network and the computer are, all connected to the statue that has a mirror, and objects that you pick up in the world can be digitized into files in the game, and then shared across this. So, for example, like in one game, in one puzzle, one area, it's like you find one quarter of a CD. Okay. It's broken. Right. And you can go on. And when you're on there, the game kind of tracks, you know, roughly which puzzle, which enigma you're trying to solve. And it takes you to the relevant board, where people are talking about this particular thing. And you are looking at the uploaded versions of the other versions of this. So like you may have broken CD 1, but you're looking for other people who have 2, 3, and 4, you know, so you can download them and then combine them into one object in the game, you know, in the computer there. This is neat because also like when you digitize objects, you can inspect the file and like open them in a text a text editor, and you get like Dark Souls style descriptions of the item that will give you lore and stuff. So it's really neat. Like you're on here and you are kind of like talking back and forth as you are trying to solve these puzzles, sharing these literal in-game resources. And also like people will make their own notes in the game, like on a little like drawing pad that they give you and upload them. And like what's been especially neat is that like there's not an awful lot of people who are just like straight to the point. There's like role playing going on, like people are responding and writing,
that's awesome.
Writing as if they are somebody who is trapped in this weird place, you know? So like that is pretty cool as well. They do a good job of telling you like when a message is written by somebody who is way further in the game than you. So you can choose to click on that and see what they wrote. You may want to leave it hidden in case they're spoiling something for you. But if you're if you're sick of a puzzle, you can probably like look at those and get the actual solution and get past it. Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. And they've got good, they have like good reporting. They've got like, hey, this is potentially offensive, or this is something that is like, you know, deleterious to the game in some way, you know, you can report it and it'll be taken out, which is nice. And it ends up being real cool. And ultimately it all comes together where you are going around in the apartment, inspecting different objects and solving some genuinely clever puzzles to where this really does work out to be, you know, something that I didn't think you could do, which is a combination between PT and Hypnospace Outlaw, which is nice. Hmm. Yeah.
That sounds cool.
It's super neat. And like when you read about it, like when you look at their Steam at their Steam page, they say, oh, this is an asynchronous puzzle horror game or whatever, like, or an asynchronous multiplayer kind of thing. It's like, yeah, but also like I see asynchronous multiplayer in it, I am getting a different picture of like what this is, you know, like that doesn't seem to kind of encapsulate it for me. But yeah, it's super neat. And I found myself both stumped by the puzzles, but also feeling like a badass when I figured it out, you know, like just noticed, oh, there was a detail that I didn't look at that when I came back the next day, I totally noticed it because I was looking at it with fresh eyes and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
So has there been any point that you're like frustrated or you felt like it was unfair?
Yeah, mostly about the enemies and the chase stuff. So there's one particular enemy who like will pop up a couple of times and you end up just needing to like run and hide from it. Also, between the levels, you're taken into like a darker version of the apartment where like there's a boss monster that you have to figure out what to do to get rid of it. To give an example of this, there's one. This is the second boss in the game. There's one enemy dressed up like a ghost kind of thing, and it is dragging this big rattling sled behind it that has three organs on it, and there are bodies of people that this person has taken organs from, like hidden around the apartment. If this thing sees you, it will run at you and kill you, and you have to start back over at the beginning of the sequence. However, in order to get those organs, you need to sneak up behind it, grab the organ off of the sled while it is otherwise distracted, and then run until you lose it. And it just, I just kept on dying because I got caught up on some geometry or something like that. I'm normally down for jank, not for jank that makes me need to play through an entire section over and over again. So it felt like pretty bad, like checkpointing more so than anything else to me.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been frustrated with those. The stealth and pursuit are not as cool and engaging as the puzzle stuff, and then that gets down to like, do you need a thing in the game that can kill you and make you restart something in order for it to feel scary? Can there be dread without the material promise of avatar death, right? Or setback? I don't know. You know, I just know that the way that this is doing it is not like ideal, but also I don't know what I would replace it with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have like much more I can say about it without spoiling other things. I really like it, and I'm excited to play and stream more of it.
Do you know how far through the game you are?
No, it's not very well documented.
Gotcha.
Online. Because it just really recently came out. Well, I mean, yeah. It's well documented within the game, but it's not like usually I can look at a walkthrough and see like and see how many you know, like look at an outline, roughly how far I am. I have no idea how long people generally play it.
That'd be funny if there's like no walkthroughs for it because everybody's written a walkthrough.
Oh, that if it's all in the game itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, at a certain point, the game becomes about making puzzles for new players, and it feeds an infinite loop where you can never finish the game because you're always playing new puzzles made by people who are trying to finish the game by making new puzzles.
Oh, huh.
I mean, that's the true whore.
Oh, hell is other people's content.
Yeah. So this is completely unrelated to anything other than the fact that in a vain attempt to try to figure out what my answer to the multiplayer is, I've read through the entirety of Wikipedia's categories listing all third-person and first-person shooters ever made.
Okay.
Which was a horrible waste of my life. Except that, did you know that William Shatner made a first-person shooter?
Yeah, Tech War.
What
the hell?
Yeah, no, Tech War, based off of the Tech War books and also the Tech War television show that ran for like 6 seasons in the 90s. Yeah. No, we covered it on Abject Suffering. It is not a good video game at all. It is in fact a bad video game. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add. Like it was we literally played it on Abject Suffering because it is the subject of a joke in The Simpsons. Where just because Springfield Elementary School is so bad, they have all the books that other schools rejected, and William Shatner's Tech War is one of them. And Skinner says, you know, the kids are going to have to learn about Tech War eventually, which no, they won't. Seymour,
he I guess he's now the only game dev to have gone to space.
Richard Garriott has gone to space.
Oh
yeah, Lord British, who the Ultima that? Guy, the guy who made Ultima.
Oh,
yeah, I did.
British,
yeah, Lord British. Yep. No, I didn't mean to like be Johnny on the spot with both of those answers. Now I feel like a fucking know-it-all. Sorry.
No, I appreciate you know that.
He knows everything about Will Shatner related games.
That one.
You know, this was literally just me diving into knowledge that was better left unknown.
Yeah, leave it buried.
Basically Wikipedia.
but Mirror Layers is all I've done other than playing Fallout 4 and really enjoying Fallout 4.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
On theme with Halo Infinite being out surprisingly this week, there's a lot of games that have made the transition from an established franchise into something free to play or mobile or living game, whatever that means. But it hasn't all gone as well as Halo Infinite. So which kind of mobile F2P living game franchise entries were most disappointing to you, and which ones were the most successful?
And I'll get us started here with Alex, who says, I've rewritten this a bunch of times to consolidate my thoughts. Lol. I think the new Animal Crossing eats truck nuts. It made me annoyed how much they cut out from the 3DS game and later patched in with grindy stank. Example, having to water gyroids. Most successful was Dragalia Lost. But I think that's only because I've played semi-constantly since launch. They're just generous enough to keep F2P sickos like me playing for 3 years. Dragalia Lost. That's a Square game, right? I think.
That sounds like a Square game. I just love that there was, he makes it clear there was a lot of thought that went into consolidating down to the most important thing to say.
Yeah.
And it's the new Animal Crossing Eats Truck Nuts.
When I read Eats Truck Nuts, I couldn't tell if that was a good or bad thing. I had to read on.
It was not developed by Square. It was developed by Cygames and published by Nintendo. Yeah, it's an iOS. It's an iOS game.
Cygames? Okay. That's a casino company.
Is it?
It is.
That makes sense that they would do free to play stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. That's not a. I'm not even trying to be like a like owned them. That just tracks to me. Mm-hmm. Ben, what does Greg say?
Greg says most successful Mass Effect 3. I really like the multiplayer mode that the game offered. It was well done and was fun short fights that didn't require a ton of time. Most failed, Command & Conquer. I love the series, but not a franchise that should be in mobile format.
My understanding is that Command & Conquer mobile game is like it was developed under something else, and they just decided to put the Command & Conquer name on it later. And even if that is not strictly correct, that is very in spirit to what it is. Yeah. I remember that E3 when EA was like, and we have a new Command & Conquer game for you, and they showed that, and everybody's reaction was like they might as well have just stood on the stage and farted for 20 minutes. was everybody's reaction.
That would be worth seeing.
At least they didn't cap it off with, what, do you guys not have phones?
No. did some place actually try that? Did somebody say that?
I mean, who else? Blizzard, when they announced Diablo 4 and said it was going to be mobile first.
Jesus Christ.
The reaction from the audience was mixed at best.
Yeah.
And the person on stage, sensing their apprehension, laid down that glorious little line.
Oh. It was like Bizarro Keanu Reeves. Like, what's the worst thing I could say right now?
Yeah. That's like a...
And luckily, we will. This will be the only negative thing we talk about from Blizzard this podcast. God,
that was their only mistake.
Yeah, the only one they ever made. No, oh, depressing. This is just depressing. anyway, David, what does Callum say?
Callum says, "I agree with Command and Conquer. It's a great example of how to ruin a game franchise. Though the mobile games were a continuation of mistakes in that franchise."
Yeah. Oh, I stand by Generals.
I have heard that the first-person shooter they made was apparently really good.
Renegade? Yeah, I don't know. I have also heard that, but that was a long time ago. So I don't know. Yeah, first-person shooters from that era have not aged particularly well.
Yeah. Was good and is good are two different things.
Very much so. Yeah. Dennis, what does Rookie say?
Rookie says, "I strongly dislike the free-to-play model and actively avoid them. But even so, I have to admit that Team Fortress 2 pulled off the transition well. I think the key to making free-to-play work is to only charge for cosmetic items and make the cosmetics so boring I have no desire to purchase them."
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's a good it is a good refutation for free-to-play always being exploitative or predatory.
Was the first Team Fortress a paid game?
I mean, the original Team Fortress was a mod for Quake, and then Team Fortress Classic it was technically a mod, but I think you had you could buy a copy. Like, I first got Team Fortress Classic in like a Half-Life compilation thing that I got along with Counter-Strike, and then Team Fortress 2 was originally released as part of the Orange Box, and then they broke it out into its own free-to-play thing a few years afterwards.
Got it. That was also Portal, right? Portal was originally Orange Box?
Yeah, no, the Orange Box was this miraculous thing that can never and will never happen again.
What was the third game in that?
I mean, that was also where they put out Half-Life 2 Episode 2, and it was the first time that Half-Life 2 came out on consoles.
That's it. Okay.
Or came out on modern consoles. There was a very ill-advised original Xbox version of Half-Life 2. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Case says, "I think it's hard to deny that Apex Legends has been a stunning win for the Titanfall devs, but it made me sad because I don't think I will ever get Titanfall 3 at this point. And I think that the original Titanfall/Titanfall 2 multiplayer are some of the best multiplayer shooter fun you can have." Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly by loyalty, people who love Titanfall love Titanfall. Mm-hmm. So clearly it's doing something right.
It's a good game. I could see being a little bit disenchanted, you know, and just moving to a game as a service that the company has no incentive to ever stop developing or working on.
Yeah. I think there was some
Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some corporate, you know, call or whatever where they made it clear that they're thinking about Apex Legends as like a 10-year franchise or something that they see being actively invested in for at least the next 10 years, which is not a small commitment.
Not at all.
Also, you know, corporate call mumbo jumbo. So
it might not mean anything. Yeah. And Ben, what does David say?
I have to emphasize that this is not me.
Yeah, I was going to make that joke as well. I was like, I don't know which David. David says, "I think Warframe did free-to-play really well. It's a really fun game, and it's a pay-to-skip-the-grind kind of game, but I never felt like I couldn't experience the levels and stuff without spending. I did end up paying for some of the in-game currency to support the developers after about 100 hours of playing the game totally free."
Yeah. And that's probably a good way to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else has Digital Extremes made? The Darkness.
Oh yeah.
Dark Sector, which is technically still in the continuity of Warframe.
Oh, stop it. Wait a second. They show up for BioShock and BioShock 2, but that's not right.
Huh. Maybe they probably worked on the multiplayer for BioShock 2, or maybe they did a port for one or the other.
Yeah, there's also, I mean, this is just what Google is saying, so who knows.
But, yeah, yeah. No, that's
Front is on here. Unreal Tournament is on here.
Yeah, no, they did the PS3 port of BioShock and the multiplayer for BioShock 2.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they did the multiplayer for Homefront. Makes sense to me, anyway.
Well, except that was awful.
Well, I mean, that was just in the water at the time, you know, just adding multiplayer to games that needn't have multiplayer.
I really need to play Dark Sector.
I remember next to nothing about it. In fact, I am getting it mixed up with Dark Void, the game where you had a jetpack. let's see here. I'll do mine here. I was really disappointed when Plants vs. Zombies 2 went free to play.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
As in that is a good example of something not done well.
Yeah. I have heard, you know, there are people who have said you can play it without, if you play it without putting money into it, like everything that is behind the gates is stuff that just makes the game easier. And you can play it and it, you know, the energy system paces you out to, you know, a nice mobile, kind of workflow. You do a couple of missions and then you let it wait. I, however, that just, it feels unsatisfying to me when I have made, an attempt to go for it. Mm-hmm. So that's been a bummer. And also, like, there's no way on mobile now to just buy Plants vs. Zombies. Like, you have to get the ad supported version, because they've done some kind of weird, I don't know, backward looking thing where they've just kind of pulled the old version that you may have spent money on to put up the free to play one. So that's a bummer. One that I am kind of reevaluating in my head and kind of thinking about going and playing is Fallout 76. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, now that I have played Fallout 4 and have really started to enjoy the dungeon crawling and settlement building kind of stuff, I'm understanding a little bit more like why they felt that approach would work for the series, you know, something that is really focused on kind of building up your character and scavenging and stuff like that. So I'm curious. That is one that I have a sense that now that I understand what Bethesda accomplished with Fallout 4, I might have a little bit more patience for what they've done in 76.
And it has gotten a lot better since launch.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is
bringing endorsement.
I mean, that is a feature of video games, is that they can get better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Ben, how about you?
So I don't really play mobile games, so I don't have a good answer for this. I really want to like dog on Metal Gear Survive.
Oh, yeah?
But I've never played it, yeah. And it's not on mobile. So
can I make an answer in your stead?
Sure.
BioWare working on Star Wars The Old Republic instead of doing Knights of the Old Republic mm-hmm. follow-ups.
Yeah, that's fair, but that's another PC one, right? That wasn't mobile.
It's a free-to-play game.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, have they stuck with the paid model, or have they gone limited free-to-play?
It's limited free-to-play, like most MMOs now are at this point. Yeah.
Damn, Cole does know it all. He has better answers for me than I do.
Sorry. I didn't mean to presume.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah. David, how about you?
Yeah, so I think for my what is good, there's probably not going to be surprising that Warframe is probably my go-to.
Yeah.
Although I would throw out Kingdom of Loathing and Puzzle Pirates.
Oh yeah, those are both
other great examples.
Yeah.
In terms of what went well, kind of the sub topic of this is if I've seemed a little distracted through all this. One, I have a cold right now, but other than that, I've been trying to figure out. I was completely certain that they had made a free-to-play a free-to-play fear game. Mm-hmm. But I cannot find any hide nor hair of it on the internet. And I was certain that whatever game I was thinking of, it was some sort of free-to-play version of a horror game I had played, and I have not played that many horror games.
Yeah.
Only...
Is this a boss fight for Cole now to figure this out?
You know, it might be, even though I've not played it, it might be some, like, what they talk about, like, cultural memory or whatever.
Maybe.
Of Alone in the Dark Illumination.
Maybe, yeah. I know that you played the Fear multiplayer quite a bit, and I was wondering if, before we started recording, I was wondering if maybe there was, like, a version of Fear that was just the multiplayer mode that was put on, like, GameSpy or GameTap or something like that, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. The other one was, I think, is it, like, Umbrella Chronicles or whatever?
Yeah, the third-person shooter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was also not very good. That's not well regarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know there was some sort of horror shooter game that they made freemium multiplayer type stuff, and it was not good, but I have no idea what it was.
Are you thinking perhaps of Panix, which stands for people acting normal in crazy ass situations?
No, because that was amazing.
No.
technically free, but not a game.
Are you thinking of Fear Combat? Yeah.
Are you thinking of Fear, the 1990s Mark Wahlberg movie?
Oh, that could be.
It might be Fear Combat. So you would take this. I don't know. Take a look. Anybody who may know. Let David know. I have put a link to what I found in the into the Slack for you.
Call to action.
Yes.
Call to action for the listeners.
Fear multiplayer release for free, videogamer.com, 2006. With next-gen games costing more than a lot of us want to pay, news of an entirely free game comes as a rather big surprise. Yes, Fear Combat, 2006, free-to-play version. Yay! Of Fear multiplayer. You there, David?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's why I was thinking of, because that was an amazing game.
I mean, yeah, there. I don't know if it was.
I think what's happening is your mind was not able to handle how bad you were at it, and so you supplanted the memory onto an imaginary game, so that you wouldn't have to deal with your inability to play Fear Combat successfully.
Tell me,
yeah,
David.
I was actually fairly good at that, but yeah. That's
fine. You played Fear's multiplayer an awful lot. I have no idea if Fear Combat was ever a compromised product. Anyway, Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, the thought I had was from the king of video games himself, Mario, and Super Mario Run, which, you know, they tried to transition Mario into mobile and free to play, all at the same time. But free was in heavy quotes. Because what wound up happening is the free game was really just a demo, and then you had to shell out $5, I think, or was it 10?
It was 10. They did a premium,
for the full game.
Yeah, that game's kind of good though.
Yeah, like, but it did not sell very well.
Yeah.
Didn't you play that in the hospital? That's my only memory of that game.
Really, play it in the hospital.
That would line up.
Maybe I played the demo in the hospital. What year did it come out? Would that have been hospital for a kid or hospital for a stroke?
Not the latter. But I like
there's the happy hospital.
I think this is what aging is, guys. Is like half the podcast is trying to figure out memories of the past now.
Super Mario Run was 2016. God, it feels like it was longer ago than that.
No, I was playing Hearthstone when Luke was born. That was like, I was like, I'm going to be in the hospital. I'm not going to be sleeping. I'll put this Hearthstone thing on my phone. That's what I remember anyway. Yeah. So if I did play it, I don't remember playing it, and I wouldn't have gotten very far because you very quickly had to shell out $10 for the game.
I remember paying $10 for it and feeling like I got my money's worth out of it, because though there were a few levels, the actual thing was like you start out just getting the regular coins, and then they make the levels harder, and you end up needing to learn the mechanics to do increasingly tricky things to get the other colors of coins on subsequent runs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not to correct you. I just want to defend that game that I think was actually really good.
You played more of it than I did. I know, like I said, kind of financial success wise how it did.
Right. My experience
with it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who actually got into it, maybe they thought it was worth it.
Yeah. I have no idea how it sold, so I have no reckon on that. Yeah.
Also, as a point of order, I think I might be thinking of Fear Origin Online.
Okay.
Also, as a point of order, Fear, horrible search engine optimization.
Yeah, it's very...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's...
And Fear Origin Online, horrible search engine optimization.
Yeah, that's probably what this was. So yeah, that would have been 2014. Okay. Originally, as with Pure Combat, the player had to be registered. Okay. Yeah. This makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. It's just kind of an attempt to revive the franchise, while also not putting a lot of effort into it at all. Really, it seems.
I found a trailer and literally nothing else.
You found it, David. High five!
Hey.
Yeah.
The right combination of ungoogleable words has yielded results.
Cool. Well, thank you everybody for participating in this. Thank you, Dennis, for posting it. If you would like to participate, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us, usually that are exciting to us, but it would be impossible for us to talk about video game news at this point and not talk about the story that David brought here. What kind of bullshit is Activision getting up to, specifically their CEO, who hopefully will have quit by the time this episode comes out?
Right. So Wall Street Journal article that came out that apparently there's a whole bunch of people who say that he knew about instances of sexual harassment up to and including rape and just did nothing about them.
Right. And actively like hid it from the board and directors and stuff like that. Like participated in a cover up. Just unacceptable.
Yeah. It's so this is one of these stories that I don't quite know what to say about it, because like there's actually a lot of great journalism there.
Yeah.
If you're interested, you should probably read these articles, but it's literally just, and that was the 10th awful thing he did.
Yeah.
You know, so, The one minor ray of light is about halfway through the story. There's some guy they interviewed that, you know, was accused of, you know, doing something, I think fairly minor, and was like, I was super, super drunk. I don't remember, but it was irresponsible for me to be that drunk. And I apologize for everything I did. So there's at least one person there that's at least a somewhat all right dude.
I guess, but also, like, I don't know. To highlighting how drunk you were kind of seems like you're trying to make an excuse for why you acted that way. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, at least somebody owned up to something, as opposed to the usual corporate, smoke bomb. Yeah.
On that related note, I didn't actually bring this story, but the board of directors has come out shortly after this story dropped and said that they have faith in him as CEO in order to make it a whatever.
They're circling the wagons. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. So, yeah, it's, you know, this is one of these things. It's hard for me to believe that things were that crazy. And I don't mean that hard for me to believe in, like, I don't believe them type of thing. Yeah. I just mean, like,
it's just shocking. You lift up a log and see, oh, there were a lot of bugs under there.
My admittedly low opinion of human behavior still makes it hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Would sink this low. Just how. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, it's always a hard thing to figure out. You know, how do you balance, you know, innocent until proven guilty with the fact that, like, you know, these sorts of things never, you know, never, quote unquote, go to trial. But, like, there's just so much here.
Union.
Like, you know, this is union. Not just, like, union. One or two union. Things. It's just union. Crazy.
Union.
Yes, exactly.
There's also, I think there is, you know, the standard of innocent until proven guilty is important, and there's a reason we're set up that way, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But also, what is the standard in a court of law is... Like, not at all needed to be held as the standard in the court of public opinion or
precisely.
In buying decisions or...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, like, even by that standard, like, you know, there's a difference between, like, I don't know, one or two things and, like, it can't be proven and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just, like, I don't know, a several hundred, you know, maybe several thousand word article just detailing time after time after time.
Yeah.
It's the overwhelming takeaway is just like imagine as bad as you think it could possibly be and it was worse.
Yeah. I think that they should union and if they have any union they should get everybody in union the union to the union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something's gonna break. Something's gonna break hard enough eventually that
yeah, will happen. They're doing more walkouts. Good for them. Solidarity.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to add. It's disgusting, and Bobby Kotick needs to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do mine. It's short and unexpected. But during an Xbox 20 year anniversary stream, Microsoft announced that they have added 70 more games to the backward compatibility list on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S. And there are there's a lot of junk on the list. You know, you have Advent Rising. You've got. Let's see here.
Notably the Fear games.
Yeah, you got the Fear games. You've got Gladius. But there's some good stuff on here. There's the entire Max Payne trilogy, which is cool. You've got 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, which is yes, a joke of a game and very funny, but also like kind of a good arcade shooter kind of thing. Hmm. Like I will back that. And something that I thought would never happen, Atogi and Atogi 2 have been added here. So Atogi, Myth of Demons, and Atogi 2, Immortal Warriors. These are FromSoft developed games that are kind of like, it's like FromSoft Devil May Cry kind of deal, taking place in ancient Japan. But they were Xbox exclusive. And I, for the life of me, like just they were never on backward compatibility. So it's like, oh yeah, those are just kind of lost forever on this island. You know, just like original Xbox emulation, not really a thing that happens. Now though, you can just pop it into an Xbox One or an Xbox S or X and fire these up. If you can spend hundreds of dollars to get a used copy of the game. So there is that. But it is neat from a FromSoft historian point of view that Atogi and its sequel are playable on modern hardware now.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Sekiro was basically FromSoft Devil May Cry.
This is a little bit more specifically. A little bit more specifically that.
Nice.
So especially from that era as well. Like the original Devil May Cry. It's like just a like a PS2 era character action game kind of deal.
Yeah. I'm reading through this list, and for a second, I about lost my mind because I see Time Splitters 2 on the list. Did not see Time Splitters before it, and my brain immediately goes, that is the most amazing flex to do a time themed game and release it as the second one. And then obviously Time Splitters : Future Perfect is directly below it though, and shattered the chance that that would have happened.
But I mean, the original Time Splitters only came out on the PS2. The sequel was multi-platform, and Future Perfect is the sequel. That's the third one.
I see. Okay. Well, I like in my head canon the idea that the studio just released Time Splitters 2 as the first game.
Yeah, it's kind of I forget where I heard this. It was on some podcast or another, but they said like calling it Hotline Miami 2 wrong number is, you know, it makes sense because that game is based on getting phone calls and getting missions to go kill people, but they should have called it Hotline Miami 3 wrong number and never had a Hotline Miami 2. That sounds like a video game soft dog joke to me. An outside possibility at being an idle thumbs joke, mm-hmm. but I still think about that, and I almost never want to call Hotline Miami 2 wrong number Hotline Miami. I never want to say its actual name.
Also, point of order, I must again remind you that you should play Max Payne 2.
Oh yeah. I understand it is good. Something that's not good. Hey, Ben, how exactly did Rockstar fuck up this bad?
So I know we talked earlier in the year about Grand Theft Auto. Been a bunch of memes posted the last week showing clips from the game that kind of make it look like dog water, hot garbage, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
So I watched some of the videos of like side-by-side comparisons. It seems like some of the things are good, like the lighting upgrade seems fine, just like the static asset stuff seems fine, like you know, cars look better, reflections look better. The characters is real hit or miss, like whether or not they look better.
They
basically did new models for everything, so you forget kind of how polygonal all the old stuff is, and now it's like very, I don't know, like it's a Unity like oval or something, you know, for all the faces. It's just kind of weird. And then like some of the bugs are some of the things that people are posting about. So there's a sweet GIF that somebody figured out that your car grows in size if you swerve it back and forth. So there's just a GIF of them, their car taking up two lanes of a 4-lane road after doing it for a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
I saw another post where it was from San Andreas, where it's like the donut shop, where they added more polygons for the donut. But then there is a nut, because it's called like donut. It's some sort of pun on that.
Tough,
it's like
nut.
It's like, yeah. So it's a metal nut, and they also added more polygons to that. So now it's a circle and no longer a nut.
That's the best encapsulation of how low effort this damn thing is.
What it sounds like is like an AI upscaler or something like that, but applied to 3D, but applied to like 3D meshes and stuff.
So it's like they basically wrote a program to.
Oh God.
Kind of hit or miss. Real bummer, since it's like such a quality game, you know, like you should probably devote resources to like translating it, but it was whatever.
It was a high profile release too. Like people.
Yeah. And one that they took down a lot of mods for.
Yeah. They took down the old versions that people had built up like communities and stuff around, which is a bad thing to do anyway. On top of, in addition to this, I mean, and this is in addition to like stability problems that I've read about, like there's the rain that has like the opacity on the particle effect makes it so that you actually like cannot see when it is raining because it looks like it is raining milk. There's no transparency to it at all is like the images that I've seen, just real problems. It looks like
you can understand why they wanted to take down all the mods. They didn't want to stage.
Yeah.
So,
ugh.
Yeah. Whoops.
Oh, well, you know, they're printing money with Grand Theft Auto Online, so there's really there's nothing they can do,
which
that
is
will
also hot garbage. I love this, that in the GIF you post, as far as I can tell, it doesn't scale everything linearly. So by the time the car is two lanes wide, its wheels are no longer circular.
I couldn't tell what was happening in the GIF. Like, I knew it was, I could see it was clipping through different things, but I just it just read to me as just this overall wonky, surreal thing before you specifically called attention to what it is doing.
I
really hope they leave that one in.
What a mess.
I don't know how you get a bug like that in the game.
I don't know. I really don't. How? But they managed it.
Yeah. Like, at what point are you writing code that scales your assets based on which way they're turning? You know what I mean?
Like, does that have some? Yeah, I have no idea. Like, there should be no elasticity in that model at all based on anything.
I was gonna say, maybe like a motion blur thing, and if you swerve the other way fast enough, it, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't even begin to guess. What a fucking mess. Yeah. Wow.
Awesome.
Dennis, round us out here. What are your best friends Riot doing?
Yeah, I swear I'm not becoming a Riot fanboy. I don't know how this slippery slope. I played one ARAM and it's like heroin. Now I'm doing everything. I don't understand how this is happening. So I apologize to anyone who has no interest in hearing about League of Legends bullshit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I kind of commented last week, oh hey, you know, the reason I got in to play ARAM was the Worlds competition was going on, and I knew the Netflix series was launching. Jen and I have watched the first episode of the Netflix series, and it's real, real good.
Oh, cool.
Like, super enjoyed it, and in particular, the art style is just phenomenal. I don't quite know how to describe it, except it's an animated version of really high quality concept art. It's not sketches, but it definitely has this concept art feel, but it's like full color and has that kind of vibrancy that a lot of concept art that's like not fully finished and polished, but it's you know 90% of the way there. But it's all come to life and moving, and it just looks amazing. Every frame of it could be a wallpaper.
Yeah.
It's just so incredibly well done. And the plot, for me having limited familiarity with League of Legends and Jen having none, was pretty easy to follow. The characters you could instantly relate to. And it just has done everything right to set itself up well for success. So I'm excited to watch more of that. However, as I'm looking at what's going on with Riot, apparently, the Super Bowl of League of Legends and a new Netflix series is not enough. They also are announcing four new games, two of which were like surprise announcement coming out right now, all in the League of Legends world.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The games are Ruined King, Hextech Mayhem, Song of Nunu, and Convergence. One is a turn-based RPG. One is a rhythm game. This is all in order of how I said them. One is a single-player adventure developed by Tequila Works, the guys behind Rhyme, so that has me excited. And then the final one is a 2D action platformer. So, like, I don't know what explosion happened that has all of these mutant League of Legends children flying out of Riot, but it's kind of cool to see. And if they can keep up the quality that that has gone with the Netflix series, this is something to be excited for.
It's very funny that for, 10 years, Riot only developed one game, and then just suddenly there's this massive explosion of new stuff. Yeah.
Well, and it is Riot going through a bunch of other devs that have great pedigrees. So I mentioned Tequila Works. The turn-based RPG is being done by Airship Syndicate.
Yeah, they did Darksiders Genesis, which I've heard good things about. Yeah.
Hextech Mayhem, the rhythm game, is being done by Choice Provisions, which I didn't recognize them, but I definitely recognized Bit Trip Runner.
Oh yeah,
which was done by them. Excellent little rhythm game, and like small scale. Like, these are, I'm really heartened that they didn't go and sign their souls over to Activision. Like, they're partnering with a bunch of smaller devs.
Oh, they're too big. They're too big to work with Activision. Like,
well, yeah, but you know what I mean. They didn't go get in bed with some other
Like, man, they didn't sign a partnership with
house.
Yeah, yeah,
like these are developers that are still small enough to actually like have personality and authorial intent behind their games versus mm-hmm. just focus grouped into oblivion.
Yeah.
Which I think that's the way the Netflix series felt to me, or at least the premiere did. Yeah. Like this was not focus grouped fan service. This was something with a story to tell mm-hmm. and its own special way of telling it. That felt really, really cool.
Yeah.
And then just the last one, Convergent, is being done by Double Stallion, which I didn't quite recognize any of their stuff. Speed Brawl, I guess is the closest thing that might be notable.
No clue.
But again, it's just, they weren't on my radar. I had kind of written Riot and League of Legends off, mm-hmm. But just re-engaging on at the right time, I guess, to see this incredible waterfall of stuff and all stuff that it seems like they're going about the right way.
Yeah.
So, the trailers they put out for the games are just kind of very gameplay light, mostly concept art, which as I established, they do that well, so that works. it all uses characters from the League of Legends universe, so they expect more of what you love if you're into League of Legends. But I'm just very intrigued, and maybe it's because Activision Blizzard has gone to shit so hard, but
yeah.
I want to see a bigger company doing this sort of thing right.
Yeah.
And right now, I guess my best hope for that is Riot.
Yeah, it seems smart. Yeah, their team mm-hmm. just team up with good studios to make interesting stuff.
I don't want to be like Debbie Downer, but we just talked about Activision, like has the same sort of culture.
Riot has a toxic workplace stuff. They've had their own controversies and stuff with it.
They might not be the white knights you want.
Yeah,
maybe these smaller studios mumble. Can be the white yeah maybe the smaller studios can be the white knights I want.
Yeah I'm hung up. The Ruined King, the turn-based RPG one, takes place in Bilgewater, and Bilgewater is the name of the restaurant chain, the seafood restaurant chain that the band plays at in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the good musical.
Nice.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. This. Riot has their own harassment stuff, which I think is, I don't know. Maybe it says something about companies.
Yeah. Just assume that humans are awful, and you'll never be disappointed.
Oh man.
I do think there's something to be said about, like, usually it's like the scale of the company that has.
Yeah,
big, power to
yeah
individuals. And sometimes yeah. bad things can happen.
Yeah,
big enough to have dark corners to hide in.
Yeah, big enough where people have enough direct reports that they can exercise power over, and also big enough where it can hide in a corner. Where people are intimidated to bring it up. Man, just inadvertent theme this week, multiplayer games and labor abuse stories. Man, bummer. Anyway,
like in multiplayer games, we must all band together towards the objective of solving labor abuse.
Yeah,
so this is like off on a tangent, but I've decided that
whenever
I want to quit the company I'm at right now, I'm just going to send out an email to be like, hey, we should form like a union, guys. What do you think about that?
Oh, man. Don't even do it over email. Just like let mm-hmm. the word slip just in the, you know, in the, like around the snack bar or something like that, and see how quickly it comes back around to you. How do y'all feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button.
Thank you everybody for tuning in to this week's level. We appreciate you taking the time. I'm gonna make the executive decision here and say that next week no episode, just because of Thanksgiving and stuff. I know I'm probably gonna be
fans,
spending
blah blah blah.
Yeah. I'm gonna be spending time probably helping family around the time, and having Tuesday night would be helpful next time to me. So no episode next week, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know what to do to help us out. You can do all of that stuff that you know how to do because you know how podcasts work. Am I forgetting anything specific or big?
I think now it's upon our listeners to figure out the things that we've gotten.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to remind them to write in about David's game, but I think we cracked it.
Yeah. Yeah. David cracked it. Cool. So I've been Cole Ross. You can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Instagram at Deck of Wonders.
I've been David Meismith. You can find me being David Meismith.
Yeah.
I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. I've only got one, and I apologize. I wrote down my own, but only because I got a laugh. I have Hell is Other People's Content.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I only had one, and it is Grindy Stank.
No, man. I don't like that one bit. I don't like the word stank.
Oof. I've got Mektroyska Doll.
That's pretty good.
The Happy Hospital. And then Raining Milk.
Oof. Ben?
I got some long ones that are probably unusable. Okay. I got, I didn't say it was a smart thing for me to think. I got less of a chunk of your life to hand over to get done.
Okay. Less of a chunk of your life to hand over to get dunked on. Okay.
And then the last one I put cyberphobia because that's fear online.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. How do you guys feel about Hell is Other People's Content?
Very self-aware for a podcast.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that because it plays into the multiplayer kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm certainly not as repulsed by it as I am Raining Milk.
Yeah, Raining Milk is just a viscerally unpleasant thing, and I'll stop recording. Bye, everybody.